9:17, welcome into the talk show sponsored by Harvest Ridge Coffee, and we're going to talk about mental health, and especially anytime you undergo any kind of a big change, and someone who deals with that on a daily basis is here from Cornerstone for Families, Brandy Deej. Good morning, Brandy.
Good morning.
Glad to have you along here.
Thank you.
I asked you right before we came on, it's like, you know, who do you talk to? And she said, well, kind of a little bit of everybody, but I specialize in this and in big changes. And everybody has their own definition of what a big change is. Clinically, what would you define as a big change in someone's life?
Well, Scott, that's a great question. The definition of a great change or a big change is dependent on the person you're asking, right? If I'm working with a little person and the little person says, I didn't get the teacher I wanted, that is a huge change for them. Or so-and-so doesn't want to be my friend anymore, and I don't understand that. That's a big change to them. For a teenager, we might see something different. It might be disappointment over not getting on the varsity team, or, hey, I'm putting out those college applications, and my first two didn't come back the way I wanted, so now I'm at my third pick, and this really wasn't the college I was looking at. For adults, it's kind of a wide array of what that big change might be, and so I've kind of prepared a little thing about the littler things, kind of those middle-sized things, and then when those bigger things hit.
Yeah, and for, you know, the age groups that you mentioned, they may, like for an adult, you know, something that a child is talking about may not seem a big change, but it's really in the eye of the beholder, isn't it?
Right. That's exactly right.
Yeah. So all of this is something that can and should be talked about, especially I would imagine you would really be in favor of the younger you are. It's okay to start talking with somebody professionally because in a way, parents aren't taught to handle this. I mean, we pick up things as we go as parents, but we don't really know too much about how to deal with somebody else's feelings and our own at the same time in a way that's advantageous for everybody.
Right. And oftentimes there's this misconception that the younger they are, the easier it is for them to adjust. And while there's some grain of truth to that, the reality is they're picking up from what they see from everybody else and how they handle things. And oftentimes they don't have the same coping skills that we have. And so they are doing the best they can. And yet sometimes they're still struggling.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, one thing that parents hear of very young children is it's important to set a schedule. It really, really, and it is. But at the same time, if somebody is entering grade school and progressing through grade school, boy, oh boy, maintaining that schedule is just as, if not more, important for emotional development.
That's exactly right. Or if it's your first time going to school, maybe even riding the school bus for the first time, and what that's like for a child can be so difficult for them to navigate when they have no idea what they're walking into.
Yeah, yeah, because they don't know the bus driver.
Right.
They don't know where they're at.
Yep.
And they don't know, you know, a child's mind can wander and think all sorts of things like, who's going to be waiting for me? What am I going to do?
Right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's almost good to kind of practice that, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
For kids especially, the more you can kind of prepare them ahead of time, the easier it is. And adults are much that way too, right? If we know ahead of time a change is coming, it's much easier to adapt and respond to. But if it's that unexpected left-wing kind of thing that hits you out of nowhere, then oftentimes we're left pretty speechless.
Yeah, yeah. It's very interesting. On our morning show, a lot of times We will talk to some advertisers, and it will bring up the subject of death. And, you know, we'll try to have a little light of it. It's like, it's, you know, like saying, hey, it's going to happen. You need to do this. But most people, that is the last thing that they want to talk about, either their own mortality or, God forbid, someone that they love and their mortality.
Right. And death kind of gets one of those raps where it's almost untouchable, unspeakable to talk about, and yet there's slow deaths, if you will, of different sorts that are equally hard to talk about. Might not be exactly someone has died, but the end of a relationship, a house fire, some of these more tricky and difficult moments in time that are just heartbreaking.
Yeah, yeah. I'm guessing divorce would be in that as well.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it is, because, you know, people will see it as, you know, it's like there go their dreams, and what do I do now, and how do I make a life for my own self? And,
right.
You know, incorporating all these things, and, you know, you don't plan on it, but it just happens. So, really, in all of these situations, it's always a good idea to sit down and talk with somebody who has seen this before, yet has a 10,000 foot view above it all to kind of guide you through this, and you think you're lost, and it's like, well, here, do this.
Right. And one of the first steps that I often tell people is to just breathe. Regardless of what change it is, to breathe. Our natural tendency is to kind of freeze up and hold our breath and just embrace for impact. And we just need to remind ourselves, breathe. Just a couple deep breaths. Help slow the brain down. Get your body in a spot where it can actually absorb any kind of feedback from anybody.
Yeah, yeah. I've been starting to do that every now and then here at work, where it's just like, if I've got 60 things to do, it's just like, don't get anxious. You know, just breathe, because those symptoms can develop when you have big, huge life changes, and especially if you've never experienced it before. Boy, oh boy, it can be a wallop to people.
Mm-hmm. And if we're talking about like a smaller change, for example, like you go to have breakfast and you pour yourself a bowl of cereal and you go to the fridge, you're getting the milk, and you're like, oh, man, no milk.
Yeah.
Or you're rushing to get somewhere, and you start hitting every red light. Or you're hearing Quincy driving and all the road construction, right? Deep breath, and then allowing yourself to pivot. It's kind of this magical ability to just adjust how we're going to respond can get you through those setbacks, those inconveniences. They still cause frustration and annoyance, but they're a little easier to deal with.
Yeah, and if you do that, it's almost like you give yourself a little victory to celebrate during your day.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You would literally change how the course of the day is going to go, where if you have a series of them and your mindset's going, oh, this is the way my Monday's going to be.
Yeah.
Then it's a good probability that it's just not going to be a good Monday.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. I would imagine that a lot of people, like in the teen years that you talked about, whether, you know, they're not accepted to college, I would imagine relationships can be among the top things that you talk with folks about.
Relationships is one of the big one. Really, any kind of disappointment. A lot of times we don't fully appreciate just how many disappointments a teenager might go through in the course of the day, whether it's with teachers or friends or with their sports or with their grades. I was thinking about how many of the teens I work with get very worked up about group presentations, whether it's I've been matched with group members and they won't do their job, or I get so anxious and I prepare and then I end up sick, right? And so it can be this mix of the normal kind of difficulties of life of we'll have presentations, and then it can be more of that relationship piece in all the different ways that teens are invested in the community.
Right, right, because something like that, teens like to talk about that stuff and word gets around quick, and then, you know, plus it's amplified by social media.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really, so it can be like, it's a doubling of pressure that you and I and others older didn't have to worry about back in the day. You just basically, you know, you had your group glaring at you if for some reason you weren't there. And the fact that if it's anxiety related, it's almost like you can't help it. It just kind of takes over.
And so many of our teens are bombarded by influences through social media, and they don't feel like their parents fully understand them, so they feel very caught in what they're going to do, who they can talk to, where to turn.
Yeah. How, if you are a parent of a teen, what things can you do in order to better understand your teen son or daughter?
So one of the things that I recommend to parents is to really listen, like actively listen. When I say listen, most parents nod their head and they're like, oh yeah, I know what that skill is. And to an extent, we do, but there's this idea of listening to understand their perspective rather than listening to teach them something. And teens are getting thrown information all the time, right? So if you really want to reach them, allowing yourself space, putting down your own devices, carving out that time, coming to them over and over again, I am here. I want to know what it's like for you. I want to better understand what this experience has been like for you, can really help them feel more comfortable opening up.
Yeah, and I would imagine part of that is just when you're talking to your teen, to just actually face them. Don't get too close and be confrontational, but yet just sit across from them and just, hey, talk to me. I'm not going to say a word. I'm just going to listen.
Yes, and leave it an open door, right? Oftentimes parents get so defeated because they'll try once, maybe twice, maybe even a third time, and the teen shuts them down. I encourage them not to get discouraged. Keep it an open door. Hey, you're not ready yet? That's fine. I'm here another time. Mm-hmm. If it's next week, great. If it's a month from now, I'll always be here. Allows the teen to know regardless of when they come, they're going to be welcome.
Yeah, yeah, and it's a struggle for parents because you have to fight your own feelings sometimes.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. It's like you want to yell, but it may not be a good idea to do that.
Right.
Yeah. So we'll be talking a lot more about this and about adults and child relationships and how to deal with life's disappointments and big changes in life with Counselor Brandy Deege, who is with Cornerstone for Families. We're coming up on 9:29. We need to find out what the commodities markets are doing. We'll do that here in a few minutes. We'll be back with more here on the talk show sponsored by Harvest Ridge Coffee on WTAD.9:32, let's go to the Ursa Farmers Co-op for that first look at commodity prices. We say good morning to Lisa. Good morning.
Good morning. Corn for September is up 5 at 393. December it's up 4 at 416. Soybeans for November is down 3 at 1055. January it's down 1 at 1075. Wheat for September is up 5 at 510. July it's up 5 at 570. Soybean meal for September is up at 297. Lean hogs for October is up at 91.35. Feeder cattle for October is down 3 at 3.58. Live cattle for October is down 1 at 2.36. Crude oil is up at 64.13. And the Dow Jones is down 199 at 45,514. Thank you.
Welcome back to the talk show, sponsored by Harvest Ridge Coffee, distributed by Refreshment Services Pepsi. Scott Hardy, pleasure to be with you, alongside Brandy Deege from Cornerstone for Families, and we're talking about how you can deal with life and what it throws at you, especially when there are big changes, and we've been talking about setting a routine for kids, even for teenagers. A lot of adults even find that they do like to get into a nice routine where there's no surprises.
That's exactly right. We are creatures of habit. And so if we can have it more predictable, more familiar, it just flows a whole lot easier.
Yeah, we were talking during the break how sometimes being even here on the radio, how it can be like Groundhog Day. But that's not a bad thing.
Right. And that's the thing, right, is being able to recognize that even in great change, there is the possibility of new opportunities arising.
Yeah, yeah. It can be a lot harder to recognize, you know, when there is change going on, that it is an opportunity, because a lot of people get caught up in their emotions and, you know, the immediate first wave of, hey, I don't think I like this.
That's exactly right. And actually, that was the first tip that I was going to mention, so I'm glad you mentioned that, Scott, was allowing yourself space and the ability to process those emotions is key, right? Because oftentimes with great change, whether we're talking about a death, a natural disaster, a fire, whatever it might be, there are a lot of emotions and there's a lot of losses. So allowing yourself that time and space to grieve is so important.
Yeah, yeah, and it is very, very important to grieve. And had a discussion here a couple weeks ago with a couple of gentlemen who founded a local chapter for Grief Share, and they talked that same thing, that the fact that you'll get that initial wave of grief, but that never really goes away. It's just how you manage it and work with it,
right,
and accept that it's a part of your life after a certain thing, and then just moving on.
Yes, yes. The grief comes in waves, as I tell a lot of my clients, and at first it feels like a tsunami that just kind of hits you, and you're like, whoa, I never saw that coming. And then the waves kind of back off a little bit, and then you'll still have pretty strong waves as time goes on. The waves don't stop, but your ability to surf the waves or your ability to cope with it changes over time.
Yeah, yeah. And during that initial tsunami, you're being asked a bunch of questions by different people who are just doing their job, but you've got to make all these decisions in a matter of days.
Yes, oftentimes that is one of the expectations we put upon ourselves, is to try and figure everything out right in the moment. And so the more we can allow grace for ourselves and time to really process, hey, this is what I'm thinking, this is what I'm feeling, here's my plan forward, the better outcomes there are.
That's why we always say pre-plan, because you get that out of the way in a more relaxed environment. It's so much better. It really, really is, of course. But there are some things that, as you well know, Brandy, is that there are just some things that you can't pre-plan no matter what.
Yes, there are so many different instances, and I picked out a couple of them. This is not the lengthy list of them, but think about when you're working up the courage to pop the question to someone. You're planning, you're thinking about it, you finally find the words, you drop down on the knee, you start, and they just stare at you. Maybe they start crying, and they say, I'm sorry, I can't.
Yeah.
It just hits you in a different way. All the dreams you just had planned, poof.
Yeah.
Up and gone.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of it's an old-fashioned notion, but I know a lot of couples that kind of move on from that and will just kind of, instead of just making it a surprise, will just have little discussions,
right,
where it's like you're out fishing and you're testing the depth of the water. It's kind of in that same way now, and that's got to be so much healthier.
Right. It reminds me of how many times I've heard someone say they are having a normal night, and their partner turns to them. They're thinking it's going to be a normal conversation, just like any other night, and they drop the bombshell of, I'm not in love with you anymore.
Yeah.
And it's like, now what?
Yeah, yeah. And that is something that plagues men and women to this day even more, and it's just a matter of, it's true, but it's just the fact that men and women think differently.
Yes. They do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I mean, men can be a little bit more logical, where women are not so much ruled, but it's just the connections in the brain regarding emotions are much stronger for women than they are for men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's always the joke where it's like, you know, if you're married to somebody, if you're married to a woman, and sometimes they'll wake up mad at you, and it's like, well, why are you mad? Well, in my dream, you did this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and on first blush, it's like, oh, come on, what are you talking? Are you kidding me? It's only later, after reflecting on it, realizing that that's how strong the emotional connection is with women, where it's like they're actually feeling that. They haven't sat down and talked about and thought to themselves, well, that's kind of silly, it was only in a dream. Because it's like with the emotional connections, it's like, well, what if it does happen?
Right. And oftentimes we take for granted just how much our partner is sharing or not sharing, right? We never truly can appreciate what they're kind of holding back or what they're still mulling over, chewing on in their mind and heart until something comes out. And then you get just a glimpse into what their world's like.
Yeah, that's why it's really, I imagine it must be so, just so worthwhile to just, when you're feeling something, just say it.
Right.
Yeah.
And it is very liberating to have that openness, that ability to just say, you know what, gosh darn, this has been an awful day. Let me tell you all the reasons why, and just unburden yourself in that way.
Yeah, from women and from men especially.
Yes.
Because too many men have that feeling where it's like, doesn't matter. I mean, I'm bringing home the bacon. I'm here doing this, fixing stuff. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do.
Right, right. And it's especially true. I'm thinking about those things that come out left field, right, where you're sitting at your day at work, day's going fine, maybe it's a Thursday, you got those weekend plans in mind, it's almost here, and you get that dreaded phone call from that family member who says, we're in the hospital, it's not looking good. In a moment, everything shifts, and you're just left speechless.
Right, right, right. And that's where, you know, that's another thing that can be delayed, because it's like you're dealing with that, and then it's like, you know, you, especially for guys, you just, whatever it is you're feeling, you kind of push that down.
Right. It's not uncommon for men and women, but I tend to see it more so with men to just kind of pick themselves up, focus on what they're going to do. My husband can relate to this. We've recently had our own little experience with something, and he's very much of, I just got to keep working. That's just what I got to do. And I'm like, oh, but we got to talk about this. And so it's not that his is right and mine's right, or his is wrong and mine's wrong. It's just different.
Right.
Different ways of coping.
Right. And the fact that, you know, you are a therapist with a master's degree, it's kind of your specialty. So it's like, honey, it's going to come up. I'm going to do this because I see this every day.
Mm-hmm. It is always bow well for me to say, trust me, I know.
Yeah, 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 exactly. Oh, the conversations you must have. What I have to share something with you. One thing that I have learned is that you can push something down, and you can push something down for so long, but it's like a rubber ball. It's going to come back up eventually.
That's exactly right. That's the analogy we often use in my office, is that it's much like the beach ball in the water, right? We push it down, we push it down, we push it down, we think it's fine, we take our eyes off the ball one split second, and it comes right back up, back in our face again.
Yeah. Do you find that one of the hardest things about having somebody go into therapy for the first time is just the fact that the person realizes that something's not right, and I got to do something about it?
You know, honestly, oftentimes people will come into me and they'll say, I really didn't want help. I thought I could do this on my own. And so they see it almost like a shortcoming. Like, for whatever reason, whether it be their own personal expectations or their family or society has put on them, that they have failed in some way because they're struggling to navigate whatever's going on. And that's the furthest thing from the truth. We all have struggles. We all have a need to release it. That doesn't mean that something's wrong. It just means you need a little extra support in that moment.
Right. It's like going to a medical doctor. I mean, you broke your finger. Doesn't mean you failed.
Right.
You just broke your finger. And you need to get it fixed. So, this is a way. And the nice thing about this is, if you go to this type of therapy, you know, and if you really embrace it and get into it, you'll learn skills to help correct it yourself.
Right. Oftentimes, the focus, especially if you're seeking individual counseling, is for you to gain more knowledge of yourself more than anything. So I really empower my clients to know themselves better than they even know anybody else. We can shift the focus to other people, but you get the most work when you truly know your own thoughts, your own feelings, what drives you, what excites you, so that you can make the best decision moving forward.
Yeah, you can make the best decision. And if you're in a relationship situation, you can explain fully yourself and not, you know, it's like, this is me and this is what I am. So,
right.
Yeah, and it just goes from there. So we will be talking much more about this and anything else that Brandy Deegee would like to bring up in the remaining 15 minutes here. Brandy, of course, a certified therapist at Cornerstone for Families. 9:45, we'll be back with more here on The Talk Show, sponsored by Harvest Ridge Coffee on WTAD. Coming up on 9:48, 12 in front of the hour, here on the talk show sponsored by Harvest Ridge Coffee, distributed by Refreshment Services Pepsi. Scott Hardy, glad to be with you on this beautiful Monday. We're expecting highs of only 74 today. We will definitely take that. We're talking it over with Brandy Deegee, a certified counselor at Cornerstone for Families. And we have been talking about how therapy can help kind of free you in a relationship to really get to know yourself and to admit things about yourself that you may have been skirting, or just to come to grips with things, to just, you know, be more honest, to be open, and to realize, you know, your feelings are yours, and they are going to be yours, and whether you express them or not is up to you.
That's exactly right. And one of the things that I was reflecting on when you were talking there, Scott, is oftentimes when people come to see me, they have so much blame, right? They either blame themselves or others. And misplaced blame is like a cancer for the soul. It really is. It just breeds this resentment that's really hard to get from. And so the more we can show understanding and grace with ourselves and others, which is so incredibly hard, it is a skill that we really got to stretch and kind of grow into, but the more we can do that, the better off we tend to be.
Yeah. Now, and I know that, you know, you're not saying, like, if somebody is a victim of crime, you know, to just automatically forgive. That's a whole other process in and of itself. But in a relationship situation, whether it's spouses, children, brothers and sisters, parents and kids, things like that on both sides.
Right.
You know, it's, you just can't go into it blaming. It's not a victory.
Right.
It's kind of a constant renegotiation, isn't it?
Yeah. And this is tied into expectations, right? Many times after great change, we've got to readjust our expectations, not only for ourselves, but for others. And so if we go in with too high or too rigid or unrealistic expectations, then we're left with disappointment again.
Yeah. How do you work with somebody? You mentioned high expectations. How do you work with somebody who may maintain and hold on to those expectations no matter what examples you have shown, and based on feedback from both parties, what you've brought up, how do you deal with that?
So a lot of times I will reflect back to them, how is this impacting you, right? Is this expectation helping you reach whatever goal you're trying to achieve? Is it worth it anymore? Is it working anymore? Oftentimes our expectations are not working for us in the way it did before. It might have been, it motivated us before, but now it's put that stress level at a whole new level and made us way too uncomfortable.
Yeah. Do you work very much with older folks who may be nearing retirement or even in retirement in terms of how they adjust to the changes in their lives?
I have. It's been an area that I've kind of moved into now that I'm here at Cornerstone, where before it was really focused on children and families. Cornerstone has allowed me to kind of spread out. And you're right, this is a huge population that oftentimes tends to struggle and suffer in their own ways, and oftentimes in isolation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that isolation a lot of times is self-imposed, really.
Yes, it can be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's tough because, you know, by that time, you know, a person of a certain age, you've got some ingrained ideas, and it's hard to let go of those, even if it would be to your benefit to let go.
Right. And that's where one thing that I work with clients on is learning to accept what is, right? Surrendering the outcome of certain situations and accepting this is where life has taken me at this point. It might not have been where I envisioned. It might not have been where I planned, but this is where it is. And oftentimes if we can get to that place of acceptance, then all of that weight on our shoulders tends to drop off a bit, because now we're more at peace with, hey, this is just it.
Yeah, and once you reach that acceptance of where you're at, then you can start new strategies. If you want to improve from where you're at, you can start there with a clean slate, you know, emotionally.
Yes. because you can reflect on, hey, this is where I've been, this is where I am now, this is where I want to be.
Yeah. Do you find that when working with older patients that it's kind of funny. I mean, we talk, when you hear the phrase peer pressure, everybody thinks kids.
Right.
But it's not just teenagers and kids that are affected by peer pressure.
Right.
Everybody is, including older residents.
Right.
Do you find that they're affected by that too?
Well, the thing that I've noticed here recently is a lot of the older clients that I've worked with tend to be more isolated, and so it's more of this comparison that they're making with all of their other friends. Well, my friends are doing this, or so-and-so is doing that, where I'm all alone. And so comparisons tend to set us up where we're on the short end of the stick, looking onward, going, oh, their life is so much greener, right? I wish I could get to their side of the fence, only to get to that side of the fence and realize, hey, it was just as brown there as it was on mine.
It's almost like they need to ask their Gen X grandchildren about Snapchat and Instagram, because it's really the same thing. That's the same thing that kids are going through when they're looking at these pictures, these unrealistic pictures that they see on their social media feeds.
Right.
Wow.
Yes. And social media is such a driving force for our younger population. So many of them are so dependent on how they are perceived and liked, by how many likes they get or loves or shares or whatever the criteria might be. And so it's quite devastating to them if, oh, so-and-so never even smiled at my picture. And in reality, we can look at other places for feedback other than just that.
Yeah, yeah. But that just struck me how similar it is with the older residents. And it's, you know, when we talk about getting into certain settings, people may think that, if like you're in a retirement community, that it may not be that great. But it gets you out of your isolation.
Right, right.
Yeah, it does. I mean, you may be placed, you may know some people or you may not know anybody, but at the same time, at least you're interacting with somebody.
Right. The added benefit I've found with clients that are older is their ability to reflect on what they've learned, which is a skill that most young people have not developed, not on the radar. I mean, age appropriateness, that's not what you expect. But as you get up there in more age and with more wisdom, you can go back and say, hey, this was a life-altering moment. This is what I learned from it. Let me pass that along to somebody else and help them.
Yeah, or at the very least, learn from it themselves.
Exactly.
Yeah, that must be troubling if you come across a client who hasn't had that yet, to just realize, I've experienced some things and I can learn from it. That must be troubling if they haven't done that yet.
Right. The level of awareness that someone has is something that we continually monitor and try to improve as time goes on, right, so that they can have more awareness of themselves and really this calling of, what do I want from the future, regardless of how much time I have? What do I want from it in reflection to what I've been through?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And sometimes it can just be as simple as I'm drawing from my own experience, telling somebody if they're talking about a past hurt, it's like after a while you just have to say, you got to let that go.
Right, right.
Yeah.
You just
that's baggage you don't need to carry.
Yep. And sometimes the wisdom of those that have been through it really helps kind of light our path in those dark moments and reminds us we're not alone.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny. It's like if you have a functioning family setup, including elderly, grandparents in that social circle, we don't stop to realize how much you can really gain from that. Everybody in that can gain from it.
Right. And actually, some of the most well-adjusted clients that I have tend to have supports that are from individuals of varying ages, right? And so the youthful ones help to remind them of the beauty and the spontaneity of life, and the older ones help to impart wisdom. And so if we can have a good balance, then we tend to be more well-rounded.
Yeah, yeah. So basically, it's just in the couple of minutes that we have left here, it's just It's just, don't be afraid to go and to talk to somebody if you even have the slightest bit of trouble about how something may not quite feel right in your life for whatever reason.
Right. And counseling can even be proactive, where maybe things are going well now, but you're anticipating that you may experience some difficulties down the road. Maybe it's with your job. Maybe it's in relationships. Maybe it's an upcoming move. Whatever the case may be, it doesn't always have to be in response to great change. It could be in preparation, just so that you feel more confident and skilled moving forward.
Yeah, yeah. We had earlier on in the show, we had several people who took their kids back to college,
mm-hmm.
one for the first time. And I mean, a lot of people have been through that. It's a different experience. It's
yeah.
like, it's like you're letting that person go. And in a way, you're also getting a mirror held up to you. You're getting older.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's a lot to deal with.
Mm-hmm. Those moments are the ones that tend to be a little bit of a struggle and or isolating again. We might not have close friends that are going through that, or their experience could have been differently. And so any time that life's kind of taking your breath away, I encourage people to consider counseling, whether it be individual or group, maybe some family. Most of the time, people find great benefit from any of the three, although a lot of my clients do primarily just individual. And see if you can find some additional support.
And what do folks need to do to get that set up?
Great question. All they need to do is contact Cornerstone at 217-222-8254. They can go on our website, which is cornerstone-quincy.org. Look for us there. You can do an internet search and Google searches that way as well. But we are here helping people meet life's challenges, providing the skills, support, and hope needed for effective, fulfilling lives.
Brandy Deej, thank you so much. It's 10 o'clock. News is next.